It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 347 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, it's the return of Travis Horsman, one of the driving forces behind Amiculus, A Secret History, a book that I really enjoy, and he's got something different going on in the Kickstarter that's happening right now. It's called Sugar Creek, A Horror Story, and if you go to Kickstarter, you can help support this book and make it happen. It's about a small town in Ohio, and it's described as the story of an unremarkable place with an unspeakable evil at its heart. Of course, there's history involved if Travis is doing it, and he does a great job of tying these eras together and making this a gripping tale where we care about the characters and we're dying to know what's really going on. So be sure to get to Kickstarter today and look for Sugar Creek, A Horror Comic, so you can support it. And of course, we get into his other projects, and Travis tells us how we can keep up with his many good things. So I'm sure you're going to enjoy what he has to say. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Over 200 years ago, not far from here, there was a battle. As the two armies fought, they stumbled onto a local creek and into the lair of a beast. Then some idiots thought it would be a good idea to build a town there.
The legend of Sugar Creek strikes again.
They thought the horror had ended with that battle. But they were wrong.
We just got a 911 call in your vicinity.
Oh, God. Oh, God. This place is sick. It's been sick since long before I was born, before any of us.
It's got this idea about what happens to places where nasty stuff goes down. It's violent, horrible deaths.
The things I found out there, under the creek.
I feel like something's just hanging over my head, waiting to drop on me.
They're worse than I imagined.
Jim, what's coming?
A reckoning.
It is waking up. It is hungry. We're all in danger. No one will listen. And even if they do...
Oh, my God.
It may already be too late. I'm so sorry for all of us.
It's great to welcome back to the podcast Travis Horsman, one of the big wigs behind Amiculus, A Secret History, and who has a Kickstarter going on with a great book and a great story coming along, totally different from that. How's it going today, Travis?
Going well, apart from a few technical difficulties.
Well, that's computers for you. You know, computers are labor-saving devices. I keep thinking that whenever I run into problems, so it's no biggie. Tell us what it is you've got going on. You've got a Kickstarter going on. What's it about?
Well, like you said, this is a completely different direction from the Amiculus story. Amiculus, as you remember, is set during the fall of Rome. Mm-hmm. This one is set mainly in modern times, and it is also a horror story. It's called Sugar Creek. The project is Sugar Creek, A Horror Comic. And the story takes place in a small town in western Ohio, kind of working along the lines that this place, when it was founded, they didn't realize that this place had been sort of a, let me see, I got to work on my elevator pitch a little bit here, I think. But essentially, it works with the idea that if a physical place is subjected to violence and bloodshed repeatedly, not just over years, not just over decades, but millennia, that can warp and change and twist that place to the point that the place actually gets a taste for it and becomes actively predatory for it. And then, when you have a place like that, you naturally found a town right on top of it that has no idea that it's there.
Mm-hmm. That surprises me, I have to be honest with you. When I was reading over the Kickstarter page for Sugar Creek, and it's Sugar Creek, a horror comic, you're right, that's the name it goes under Kickstarter, which I've already pledged to, by the way, so I was happy to donate to that. And the thing I was most intrigued in, because, you know, mostly these horror stories have to do with people, but you're actually delving a little bit into the place, and I noticed there's some history involved, which was right up your alley. Talk a little bit about what makes Sugar Creek different from other horror stories.
Well, it does involve history. There is a legend attached to the town that is related, that's tied into an actual historical event. Mm-hmm. One of the things when I was doing my research is that Ohio in its sort of frontier times was a pretty, could be a pretty violent place. Particularly, there was a period in the late 1700s called the Northwest Indian Wars, which was between the American government and the Western Federation. That was the name of all of the Native American Federation that was resisting the Americans' attempt to push into Ohio. And it was a pretty bloody, violent, a very bloody, violent war that went on for on and off for 10 years, reprisals on both sides, the biggest cataclysm was called the Battle of the Wabash. Mm-hmm. This battle is also known as the Battle of a Thousand Slain. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because the Western Confederation, the Native American forces, faced off against an American army and completely routed them, wiped them out, virtually wiped them out, and in the process wiped out a full quarter of the American standing army at the time, which a lot of people don't know that. But it was the worst defeat of an American army against a Native army in American history.
Now, of course, you have come up with something that made this happen. Is that maybe a way to say it? I always appreciate the fact that you don't show your cards right away, that you let us read and enjoy things for a while and try to and get to figure things out. Too many people show the solution right away, and I'm going, well, I know the solution. Why would I want to keep reading? But with yours, I'm fascinated by you show a little bit of what you conjecture happened during that time, and then we get to the current time, which is very interesting. You've got a cast of characters that I really like that are, I mean, totally different from Amiculus. It was just, you know, I can't think of anything that would be 180 degrees farther away from Amiculus than this story is. So, which is always good. I think a writer should be able to write more than just one kind of story. But and when I saw there was a little bit of history involved, I was kind of happy. I said, yeah, that's a little bit of a safe space for you. That's kind of a place you like to go. And I like to go there too. So I was really happy to see that.
Well, just to tie it a little closer to the events in the book, the legend that's actually tied to the town is that supposedly a group of Indians was chasing down a group of American soldiers that had broken off from this battle and chased them to the location of Sugar Creek, where they basically supposedly met at the headwaters of the creek and engaged in battle, but none of their bodies were ever found by either side. Sort of creating a spooky little ghost story that the town sort of holds to its heart, but that they're not even entirely sure is true or not, because no bodies were ever found. This is a thing. And eventually, in the course of this story, they do discover that that story was true, but that it is only the tip of the iceberg of what is happened, of the things that have happened at this place. That's the key end of the story, but the rest of it goes far, far deeper.
So, okay. I saw a couple of pages on the Kickstarter page from the comic. Do you delve in the history very much, or do we kind of refer to it, you know, kind of off panel, or do you actually get in there and show us some of that during the book?
Yes, the first three or four pages are a reenaction of that battle happening in 1791. It flashes from 1791 straight up to 2015, and that's it, it gives that background, yes.
I'm interested, too. We get to 2015, of course. Most comics deal with the current time. Why 2015? Why did you choose, like, 3 years prior to the current time to set the story?
Well, I started writing this. I started working on this in 2014, actually. But the town is on the verge of its 200th anniversary. The town itself was founded in 1815. Again, that was sort of historically based. The town itself is fictional, but I wanted to put it in. It seemed like the right time in history. You know, at the end of the War of 1812. You know, you might have a town that's settled with some veterans of the war, that sort of thing. And there's another portion of this that I'm working on, which is a journal. I'm doing sort of as an extra thing for this, an illustrated journal by one of the characters, where he goes back through the town's history and recounts all the people who disappeared in that 200 years, and that most of them he ties to this thing.
And, of course, we don't see that. I'm sure that's going to come along a little bit as we go through the story. I like the way you tell stories. You don't necessarily, you peel the onion back a little at a time, and then we get to figure things out. Now, I was noticing too on the Kickstarter page, you've got four characters in particular that you mentioned. And the one that we see a lot, there's like a little video, and I'm sure you do several of the voices in the video talking about what the story's about. The one that we see the most is a guy that's the amateur archaeologist, seems to me, Jim Corey. And as somebody who does digs near Sugar Creek, it says he finds a new wrinkle in the well-worn town legend. Talk about that character. I mean, he's got to be, you know, you've got to have a catalyst in these stories, especially in the horror things. You've got to have somebody who brings it up. Talk about where this guy comes from.
Absolutely. Well, Jim Corey is he's not so much a retired history professor as he has been retired, and he hasn't really handled retirement very well. So in the journal, you sort of follow that path, you know, after he was let go from the college that he worked at. His wife made him go to a psychiatrist who said he wasn't dealing with it very well. He was bitter and angry and suggested that he keep a journal. And since he was also something of an artist, he also used it as a sketch journal, which is kind of the premise for recreating his journal and adding it to the book. And as he goes on, the whole thing starts one day when he's just idly walking along the creek, and he sees he sees something shining in the water that wasn't there any other time he saw it. He looks and digs out like the remains of a flintlock pistol. And there's actually a reference to that in the panel, the page showing the American soldiers fleeing from the Indians. There's an officer who drops his pistol in the water and it sinks to the bottom, and that's what he finds. And this leads him to start thinking about the legend, you know, as to whether, could there be any veracity to this, or is this just a random find? And it starts to get him. He starts poking around the creek. He doesn't find anything. He pokes. He goes a little further toward the headwaters, that almost cave-like entrance into the woods, which look like they have never been harvested at all. And he just starts finding things almost instantly as he digs. But the weird thing is, it's not like an archaeological dig where everything is sort of down layer by layer by layer. It's all jumbled together, sort of like if you've ever seen a fish that's swallowed a bunch of plastic, it's all just sitting there in its stomach. You know, it's like all of this is jumbled together without any semblance of sense or age or time. And over time, he as he's digging these things up and finding all these artifacts like musket balls and axe heads, he finds other things jumbled in too that are not from that time, that are more recent. Like one of the more disturbing things that he finds is the like partially missing head of a Cabbage Patch doll, which even more disturbingly, he actually ties that to the disappearance of a young girl, of a little girl, about 20 years earlier. And then he starts finding other things that he starts to research, and he notices that he's able to tie those to other disappearances, and they're all just sort of showing up in the ground as he's digging until he starts to formulate theories, and all sorts of strange things start happening, which make him increasingly paranoid. He starts talking to the sheriff to try to tell him, but the sheriff, the sheriff is insistent, well, the chief of police is insistent that he's off base, and that just sorts of, it follows his path up to the point that the story starts in the actual comic. And he almost gets the sense that he's being shown these things, but also that as he's learning more about it, it's learning more about him, and worse than that, it's learning that there's a whole bunch more of him very nearby that it had never known about before.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you have two police officers in the story, according to the Kickstarter page. You know, Deck is the sheriff I think you were talking about, and then you've got a second member. There's only two police officers on the force, and his name is Sean. He's troubled by shadows he just can't shake, it says. Young son's been having nightmares, which seem to have followed Sean into the daylight. Talk about, because we learned a lot about the sheriff. How about Sean? What's his story?
Sean is relatively new to his job. He's a young father. He is one of the, like I said, two-man police force of this very, very tiny town, 329 people total. And he's always been, he's never been a guy to really, you know, wool gather or you know, think about things beyond his understanding too much until this morning. He wakes up with just sort of an ominous sense in his mind of things happening, and then his son, who's been having nightmares, warns him as he's getting ready to take a drink of water not to drink it, because his son says there are ghosts in the water. And this sounds like something a little kid might say after having a nightmare, or even in the middle of having a nightmare, and you just sort of write it off. He's like sleepwalking or something, but it's a feeling that never leaves him the whole day. And it almost seems like this opens him up to seeing the sort of things that Jim Corey is seeing, but he has no basis for understanding it. And all sorts of strange things happen on their way as they're driving, as they're going to this, they're answering a 911 call, essentially. And as they're heading toward it, all sorts of strange things start happening that his feeling of foreboding just continues to grow the closer and closer they get, and it maddens him. He can't figure out what it is, and he can't explain it to his partner in any way that his partner will respect or understand. So it's sort of a dread, sort of an ominous harbinger of doom that's sort of building in him the closer they get to the epicenter of this.
I like the subtitle sentence. It says, "The story of an unremarkable place with an unspeakable evil at its heart." I like that. It's a good sentence. That draws you right in. I like that real well. Now, I have to ask you, as far as like writing, because Amiculus was basically a history story. Was it much of a change to go over to do a horror comic? I mean, you know, there's some in the storytelling is probably pretty similar, but I just wondered what kind of changes you had to do in order to switch from history to horror.
Well, it wasn't really that hard, so to speak. I mean, it works with the same, the same principles that worked in Amiculus work here, where you're, like you said, peeling back the layer of the onion bit by bit, revealing only so much, only as much as you have to, in order to draw people in, you know, play with suspense, ominous. I mean, I actually, some of the first things that I wrote before I wrote historically based stuff was horror. I was very heavily influenced by Stephen King as a boy, and I did some really, really, really bad imitations of him in middle school. But in my writing, but that's always sort of stuck with me. You know, his way of sort of building dread. I don't know that I've ever seen anyone quite do the same, and that's always been. I mean, I think some vestige of that did stay with me when writing this is, you know, how to build that dread at the right pace.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got to ask, of course, it says this is a 32-page comic. Is this a complete story in one comic? Is this the beginning of a miniseries? How does this get handled?
This is a one-shot story. It's beginning and end here in this book.
We don't see that much in comics, I have to say. I'm looking forward to that right away, because I get real tired of endless stories that you just never, ever get to a stopping point. So I'm really fascinated by that. Now, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. It's the shortest thing. I'm not very good at writing short things. I don't know. It's like my ideas keep taking me someplace else and someplace else. It's like, you know, the idea is too big to fit within the scope of the page. But I think we managed to make this pretty concise.
Very good. Now, I noticed in the description, too, it talks about that Sugar Creek began as a screenplay for a short film based on a concept by Ohio graphic designer and filmmaker Will Graver. And you want to go back to see the film, do a film in the near future. Because Amiculus started out, as you were saying, a 10-page play before it got into a short story and then moved into a graphic novel. It seems like things start small and then you kind of expand them out as you deal with these things. Talk about that process. I mean, you know, is it the germ of the story that attracts you and then it starts to develop the more you get into it?
Yeah, very much so. I can tell you the germ of this particular story. This was a concept that Will... Oh, by the way, Will was a graphic designer on Amiculus. If you look through the credits of Amiculus, you'll see his name there.
Cool.
Will is a filmmaker who he enjoys... he specializes... a lot of his work, he's done a few things with horror as well. This was the germ of an idea that he presented where he envisioned the idea of two police officers driving down a country lane, having a conversation, and something is waiting for them at the end of that road. He wasn't sure what it was, how serious it was, but he thought it was something sinister, or possibly even something that fatally sinister, in fact. And I was thinking about this. He said it was an idea that he was at the time able to develop. So I asked him if I could pick it up and see what I could do with it. So after a few drafts, we came to the conclusion that this should be a horror story. That it would be set in that it would be set in Ohio history, and that we should first explore it as a comic book. That was my idea. The last one was because I thought that, in a way, it's sort of storyboarding it out initially. But also it's a way to, you know, sort of maybe build some interest, build a potential audience before delving into the film.
Now, I noticed that the artist is Brent Bowman. I think I like his art really strongly. Is he doing the colors as well as the art? How much of the art is he doing?
He is responsible for 100% of the art. Yes, he does pencils, inks, digital color. That's all his work. He's done a lot of work regionally. There's a book series that he worked on that NBM publishes called Persia Blues. You might want to check that one out. It's pretty good. It's that one's in black and white. But he's done a fair amount of it. Actually, he's going to be having a gallery opening of some of his work this weekend here in Columbus.
Wow.
Really professional guy, very enthusiastic for the story. Great to work with.
Yeah, I notice he uses lots of reds. Of course, in a horror story, you do get a lot of red, which happens.
Yep.
And I also like the way that he uses other colors. He's got a kind of a little bit of a painted feel to it, which I like. He focuses on, there's one picture of what looks to be a girl, and you see a smile coming through the shadowy background and stuff like that, which is really spooky. I really like that illustration as well.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's a page that sort of is an attempt to. That's actually a completely different ghost story, but it's an attempt to explain the phenomenon that's happening there. I don't want to go too much into. I don't want to spoil too much, but that's actually from a very haunted place. That scene is actually from a very haunted place in Scotland that sort of works on a somewhat similar basis as this, but to a much lesser extent.
I'm still thinking about how a place becomes a monster. I've not seen that before. Usually it's people. Things happen and people are behind it, and once you identify those people, everything goes back to normal. But it sounds like this may be a thing that even if you get the people out of there, it would still be a horrific place.
Basically, I mean, it's a thing that, you know, one of the elements to the story is that you, as a reader, never actually see it.
Hmm.
It is never seen, except by the people that it's about to kill. There are actually panels showing, like there's a whole page, and you know, you also get to see the world from its point of view, because it looks, I mean, the when you're looking at the world through its eyes, it looks like a lens just smeared with blood, like straight red, you know? And there's a whole page. I mean, I think you've seen some of the panels. Anytime you're looking at a panel that is has that sort of smeary red quality, that is looking at through its eyes. This creature's eyes. And in fact, there's a page like where it shows it's going at a person to kill them, and then you see the reverse. You see it through its eyes, and then you see it from behind the person it's killing, and it looks like a bright, sunny day. Nothing is happening except this person seems to be writhing in agony and bleeding to death.
Wow. So we got a lot. I'm really fascinated to see this. Now, the Kickstarter ends on Sunday, October 14th at 12 midnight.
Yep.
So we got a little ways to go. As of this recording, you've made a good chunk of the beginning here, and you've got like 60 backers, so they'll probably identify. Hopefully when this gets posted, you'll have a lot more backers and a lot more money coming in, because I'd like to see this really be successful. I think that horror is one of those things that comics can do really well. Because we dive into it, we're suddenly there, and you know, I really like the way that, you know, of course, the special effects and stuff, all you got to do is have a good artist, and that person takes care of your special effects. So, and I think he does a good job, too, I have to say. I really like the shades of red, and he doesn't just use red, you know, he uses lots of different colorings within the red, and it really makes it stand out real nicely. So, and other colors, too, like I said, when you see the Welcome to Sugar Creek, the sweetest place on earth, It's got a little bit of a painted feeling in the sky and in the grass and stuff like that around it. So I really like that.
Thank you. Yeah, I love the texture of what he draws and what he colors. You can really get a feel for it.
Yeah, so I liked all the pledge things that you can do. You got all different kinds of a variety of stuff. You include Amiculus with it along the way, and then you've got all kinds of stuff, a writer's package, which I thought was interesting. Behind-the-scenes writer's POV with this package. You could see from your point of view, I gather. And then there's a poster package, a cold case victim file, which I like. I think that's kind of good. And a movie package. So you're going to...
Yep.
Obviously, you're going to have some of the original script in there, which would be good. And then the big one, the $350 one, is the Legend of Sugar Creek package, which is deluxe. And that would take me the rest of the podcast. It would take me the rest of the podcast to list them all. But there's a lot of good stuff in there: posters and copies of the book, all kinds of wonderful things. So you're really pulling out all the stops on this Kickstarter. Sounds like, Travis.
Thank you. Oh, and there is a tie-in to Amiculus as well.
Oh.
For the film package, for the movie package, that one is based, in addition to the book, you would get the original screenplay for the short film, bound much like you would the script for the comic script.
Oh, cool.
But an extra thing that we're doing with this is that we're bringing back the artist for Amiculus, Giancarlo Caracuzzo, to draw a special movie poster for Sugar Creek.
Hmm. Cool.
So we're bringing him in. And adding his talents to that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very good. Because it's a good thing that when you can make a good poster. Posters really help, you know, promote the work that you're doing. And I think that's a great thing to have. with that. So looks great. I'm sure it's going to be successful by Sunday the 14th at midnight. So, but now's the time to get in there and jump on. You still got some time, but I wouldn't sit and wait. I would get out there and support the book as much as you can, as early as you can. Because, you know, as somebody who has been familiar with people who run Kickstarters, the longer it takes to get to the goal, the harder it is on you. You know, the daily heart attack, we like to call it. That every day you look and see, has it gone up? Has it gone up?
yep, there's no question.
So we want to make it easy on you is what we want to do. And we want to get the goal met as early as we can. And make sure that this book is going to happen, you know, really, really well. I'm sure you'd do something else if this didn't work out, but this is the way, the preferred way to go about it, is to make this Kickstarter a success and get the book going and make things happen.
Absolutely. And also, another thing, if I may mention this, there are some opportunities. You know, every campaign has its stretch goals. You know, if you make the goal, then you know you want to offer something a little extra. You know, to get more people to pledge.
Mm-hmm.
I would be using this to introduce some of my future projects. There, one of them would be art, and you know, potential pages from a new from a Miculus prequel, actually, book. And the other one is for a five or six issue story that I want to do about the Oracle of Delphi.
Mm.
That one is also kind of an alternate history sort of view, much like a Miculus, a hidden history that we don't know kind of thing about the last prophecy of the last Oracle of Delphi. It's actually really, really interesting. The actual prophecy itself is very cool, but the story behind it that I want to write, I hope, is even cooler.
Mm, cool. I like that. I like the sound of that. Now, why don't we talk a little bit about Amiculus? Because, you know, you completed that, which is always a great thing to see a story come to completion. The Kickstarters were all successful for Amiculus?
Yes, they were.
All
yep,
right.
I made goal on all three books and the omnibus, which at this point I would love. The omnibus ultimately was the way I wanted to package all of these books. I wanted to do them as a single book, and I succeeded, and I was able to do that. I was only able to offer that as a limited book at this point because I still haven't figured out the alchemy for publishing that in an affordable way. That is something that I'm still working on at this point. I'm still selling the three volume versions, but I do want to release the omnibus for general sale at some point once I have figured out that alchemy.
I'm trying to remember, did I first meet you at was it Small Press Expo, the space?
Yes, I was at both. I was at Small Press Expo in Bethesda, and I was at Space in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, I've never been to the one in Bethesda as much as I'd like to get there. I was to the one in Columbus one time, and I saw a whole bunch of stuff. I was really amazed by how much, you know, comics creation was happening in Ohio. You know, because when I moved to Florida, I was surprised to find a thriving comics creation community down here. And then when I went up to visit there, I was surprised to see the same thing going on up there. So I saw your stuff, Alpaca, all kinds of interesting and fascinating things going on. And I loved that a lot of it had to do with Ohio. I'm always fascinated when, and the fact that this story takes place in Ohio too, I like it too, because I'm so sick and tired of New York City being the center of all these stories. I like to see a story that's somewhere else. So the fact that you guys are doing this in Ohio again, I think is just very creative, and I think it's something that's going to make the story unique.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's something that, just from the history, you know, it was something that I wanted to incorporate into a story because not a lot of people know it. It's really cool stuff, and I think that people would really appreciate getting just a little more light shown on places that they don't normally see.
Mm-hmm. Which I like. I'm that way about holiday songs. There are, if you go around the country, you'll hear different holiday songs people do like for the holidays. There's one in Baltimore that's really funny. It's about a guy with a baseball, an Orioles cap in Texas. And then there's DC has a totally different one, a very serious one about the Christmas Eve and stuff like that. And yeah. I always love that different places have different traditions. So I always enjoy that. And when I saw those things in Ohio, I was really intrigued by how creative you guys all up in there are and how much storytelling you enjoy doing. And has a very unique flavor to it. I like it.
Well, thanks. You should check out, are you familiar with Comics Crossroads Columbus?
No. What is that a con?
It is. Comics Crossroads Columbus was actually founded by Jeff Smith, who created Bone.
Are
you familiar with the Bone series?
Oh, yeah. I love that book.
Yeah, he's from and lives in Columbus. Mm. And he worked together with OSU and several other places to create this. It's a week-long symposium at OSU that invites comic creators from all over the country. And it ends with a comics expo that's Saturday the 29th and Sunday the 30th at the Columbus Metropolitan Library.
Oh, wow.
They managed to get a lot of pretty big people for it.
Mm. Do you go to that?
Yes, I will be tabling at that this year.
Oh, very good, very good. It's interesting because when this podcast posts, I will be in Ohio. I'm going to be at the Cincinnati Comic Expo. I'll be up there. My friend Richard Rivera, who does indie comics, Stabbity Bunny, will be up there. And I go along with him to help him out. And it also gives me a chance to check out the place and stuff. So I'll be up in there. Let's hope that by the time this posts, Florence has decided to go a different direction. It's not going towards Ohio, or we'll likely be. So we're looking forward to having a good weekend and not having to run for the hills when the rains start.
No doubt.
Yeah. Very good. So you've mentioned the other projects. How do we keep up with you as far as when you're doing things? Obviously, the Kickstarter right now is a big thing, and I'm sure you want people to focus on that. But if people want to follow you and keep up with these other projects with the Miculus, the upcoming prequels and things like that, how do we keep up with you and be able to know what's coming?
Well, I do have a website. You may be familiar with it. It's amiculusrome.com, A-M-I-C-U-L-U-S, Rome, like the city of Rome.com,
mm-hmm.
where I have a page with upcoming projects. In fact, the two projects that I told you about, both there's a synopsis of both on that page.
Mm.
You can check it out there. I also do have a newsletter that people can sign up for on the website. I usually put that out monthly or bi-monthly. Right now, since I'm doing a Kickstarter, I'm doing it more often than that, to, you know, for better or for worse.
Mm-hmm.
But, those are two great places to learn about projects and what we have coming up. And also, I feel like I should mention that my artist from Amiculus will be working with me on both of these new projects.
Mm.
That's Giancarlo Caracosto.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's going to be working on the Amiculus prequel, but he's also going to be working on the Oracle story as well.
Mm-hmm. I can't let you go without talking a little bit about the video that's on the Kickstarter. I know that you're something of an actor, and you do voices and things like that. I think you do several of the voices in the video. If you go to the Kickstarter.com, look for Sugar Creek, a horror comic, you'll see the video. And there's several panels from the comic in there. I was trying to figure out how many voices you did on there. Did you do two or three? Because, you know, you can, as somebody who's experienced with voices as you are, you can probably do more than, you don't have to just do one voice. You can do a couple of them. Did you do like two or three in there? I was trying to figure out.
Actually, I only did one.
Oh.
Yeah,
oh.
I only did, it was a very short line. It was Sean's. It was Sean's line, basically.
Oh, okay.
I try to get in as many other voices as possible. I use a lot of the same talent that I use from the Amiculus trailers.
Mm-hmm.
The main narrator was a big part of the Amiculus narration as well.
Mm-hmm. Who puts it together? Is that you?
Put what together?
Who put the video together?
Oh, well, that's my friend Will again.
Okay.
My friend Will Graver,
mm-hmm.
cinematographer, filmmaker. I wrote out the script. I wrote out the script, collected all of the sound effects and the music and everything, and he put it all together in a nice package and added his own stylistic choices to that as well, which I am eternally grateful for. He has a great eye for this stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. So obviously this is going to be a fun book to read, especially if you're into horror. And I think, you know, again, it's October the 14th, a Sunday at midnight. So we want to make sure that we get in there before that, though. I just want to make sure that you need to get in there and make things happen as soon as you can so that they can start doing all these wonderful stretch goals, which are always some of the most fun things, I think, on these Kickstarters. So, you know, Travis, you're doing wonderful stuff. I hope you get to keep it up for a long time to come. And I want to see more from Ohio because I think you guys do very creative things up there.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's it for this week. Be back next episode when I'll have another terrific conversation with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.